Today we come to the conclusion of our series in the book of James, a series that we began under the theme, Faith Works. And we've been learning a lot of different ways in which faith is active and working within us, changing what we say, how we think, how we live our lives, how we approach God's Word, how we hear what He has to say to us, and not only getting understanding and information, but more importantly, letting His Word into us and changing us, that we become active doers of His Word, and that faith working within us, producing a change, and very active in us. Faith guiding us and giving us discernment and wisdom in the decisions that we make, that we learn to follow God's wisdom and not the wisdom of the world. But today, as we bring this book to a close, perhaps there is no better way that we see faith working and testimonies of the working power of faith than in through the power of prayer. And as James closes this book, he talks about the power of prayer and faith praying, because through the prayers of God's people, God moves. Things happen. We've heard testimonies this morning, and we've been hearing testimonies of how through prayer God has changed things. And God has moved. And we see the prayer and faith working. J. Edgar Hoover once said, and I'm quoting him, that the spectacle of a praying nation is more awe-inspiring than the explosion of an atomic bomb. The force of prayer is greater than any possible combination of man-made or man-controlled powers, because prayer is man's greatest means of tapping the infinite resources of God, invoking by prayer the mercy and the might of God, and our most effective means of guaranteeing peace and security for the harassed and the helpless peoples of earth, unquote. Prayer. God calls us to prayer, and what a privilege it is that we can talk to Him and that we can pray before Him. Prayer of faith has great powers, James will say, that the prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective. And I love to hear people pray, because in prayer we're sharing our heart with God. And sometimes we're reluctant to share our prayers out loud, and that's okay. Because prayer is very personal. And prayer is our personal communication with God and sharing those times with Him. But I love to hear children pray. Have you ever listened to kids pray? Because when they pray, they're honest. They share their heart. They don't really care what people around them think, because they're focused on God, and they tell God how they really feel. And isn't that what God wants us to do? To tell Him what we really feel and not really care what other people around us think, and just to be honest with Him. And I love to hear kids pray, because not only are they honest, but when they pray, they believe God's going to answer them, don't they? Most kids, when they pray, they're serious. They believe God's going to hear their prayer and answer it. That old adage, if we pray for rain, carry an umbrella. James talks about the importance of faith in prayer. But I come across some children's prayers for this week that I want to share with you, because these are really cute. And just shows you the faith of a child and the kind of faith of a child that leads them to pray. And that same kind of faith that should be working in us to lead us to pray as well. But one prayer says, "Dear God, please send a new baby for mommy. The new baby that you sent last week cries too much." That was Debbie, age 7. "Dear God, who did you make smarter, boys or girls? My sister and I want to know." Jimmy, age 6. "Dear God," here's one that we talked about in our small group, kind of. "But dear God, how many angels are there in heaven? I would like to be the first kid in my class to know the answer." Norma, age 8. "Dear God," I love this one. "Dear God, thank you for the nice day today. You even fooled the TV weatherman." Hank, age 7. I like that one. Dear God, I need a raise in my allowance. Could you have one of your angels tell my father? Thank you, David, age 7. And dear God, this is my prayer. Could you please give my brother some brains? So far, he doesn't have any. That's Angela, age 8. Just a few examples of the prayers of kids, so honest, just telling God how they feel. But James concludes this book talking about the importance of prayer, and we've seen many different aspects of how prayer, faith working within us, is active, changing our speech and a lot of things. But here the focus is on prayer. If you look at these verses that Bob just read, verses 13 to 20, in 7 verses, I circled them. He uses the word prayer 7 times. So you think if he uses the word prayer 7 times in 7 verses, that's pretty important. That's a key. That's what he's talking about here and showing us as he brings this book to a conclusion, how prayer offered up in faith can make a difference. We have burdens and cares. We have a time that we take in our service to share prayers and prayer requests because that's important and God wants us to pray, and it's a privilege to be able to bring those requests to Him. And a prayer offered in faith, God will hear and God will respond to. So as we look at the scripture this morning, we're going to discover that faith works through prayer and has the power to do 4 things. That is, a prayer offered up to faith, offered up to God in faith, believing in the name of Jesus, has the power to bring about and works 4 different ways. First, prayer has the power to relieve suffering. Now, there's a lot of suffering in the world, and Dean had mentioned about, Tracy had mentioned earlier today, recently, about, in our sharing time, about the flooding out in the Midwest. But there's a lot of suffering in the world, and not only that, but suffering within our own lives. James says that if any one of you is in trouble, what should he do? He asks us a question. If you're in trouble, if you're having trouble, and the word trouble, as I looked it up, means infirmity, heartache, affliction, burdens, cares, anxieties, worries, any kind of troubles. Now, any of you have troubles in your life? Is there any of us immune from trouble? We all have it, don't we? And he said, if you have trouble, what are you to do? Throw our hands up in despair and say, oh, pity me, poor me, how am I ever going to get through this? He said, if any of you is in trouble, you should. The answer is pray. What a privilege that is of God, that prayer has the power to relieve suffering because we can tell him all of our troubles. And what a privilege that is that we can bring them to him. And he says, cast them on me. I care for you that way. I can take your troubles for you. I can help alleviate your suffering, God says. And I'll take it on me. That's the privilege of prayer. Isn't that awesome? How about it, Trace? So we can, when you have that bad day, you got that stressful day at work, that you can tell those troubles to God. I had a conversation with someone during sharing time, and I'm not going to mention the name, but I had a conversation with someone during sharing time, and I said, how you doing? They said, good, and said, I'm not complaining, doesn't do good to complain. And I said, yeah, your husband won't listen anyway, right? She said, yeah, but I tell it to the dog. You know, and we can tell it to tell our troubles to our dog, and yeah, our dog will listen to us and lick us, and how about it, evil. Our dog will be there, but more importantly, tell it that we can tell it to God. We can tell it to Jesus, and he's always there to listen. He never casts us out. He never gets tired of listening to any concerns and problems we have. He can take them all upon himself, and he wants us to be honest. That's what's so beautiful about those prayers of the kids. They just told God how they really felt. And that's the privilege, how prayer can alleviate the suffering, because we have a privilege to tell Him our concerns. Whatever is bothering you, whatever troubles you, your simple things such as whenever you have you ever lost anything around the house and you're tearing the house up to try to find it? You know, and I've lost my keys already. I've lost my cell phone sometimes, and I say, where in the world is it? You're tearing the house up and you go frantic throwing things around. And after I do that a while, and good illustration, after I do that a while, and I'm in my frustration looking around, trying to find it myself, I finally get the crazy idea, which isn't a crazy idea, I should have done it first, to stop and ask God to give me direction. And I finally pray about it. I said, Lord, you know where it's at. Help me, direct me to where it is so I can find it. And after I've done that, often I found it. Has that ever happened to you? Because when in doing that, you calm down. You bring it to God, and God can direct. I mean, I've done that. Kim's done that. Maybe you have too. And just simple thing like that. Or your car, or you have a decision with your car or your job, anything. Whatever care or concern you have, it's a privilege that we can tell it to Jesus. And that's a beautiful part of faith working within us. And that's how it can help to alleviate the suffering, because when we tell it to Jesus, God hears and He'll respond. He doesn't just listen, He answers. And that's the beautiful part of prayer, is that He'll hear our requests and He'll hear our concerns, but then He does something. He will respond. He will come through. He answers. So that's the privilege we've got. We can tell Him our troubles, but we also can give Him our praise. Because it said, if you're in trouble, pray. If anyone is happy or cheerful, let him sing songs of praise. Or let us sing and rejoice. Prayer is made up of two aspects. Prayer is not only telling God our concerns, but it's also praising Him. And coming before God with praise and thanksgiving for His goodness and who He is. And often we come into prayer, and I can be guilty of this too at times, we come into prayer with our long laundry list of all the things we want God to do for us or somebody else. And we start a prayer with God, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. I'm asking this, I'm asking this. And that's okay, God wants us to. But sometimes we forget to praise God. And praise Him and thank Him for what He has done and who He is. And I don't know if you've ever noticed, the strangest thing happens. It's the power of praise through prayer at work within us. Is whenever you have a bad day, or you have a lot of cares, and you have a lot of troubles, and you start taking them to God in prayer, it doesn't seem like long before we get to God in prayer that we start to get an attitude of praise. Because God has a way of, through our prayer, to change us. And when we start praising God, we realize, you know, we have a lot to be thankful for. And those things that seem, those cares that seem to be so important in the midst of praising God, they kind of might become kind of incidental. And when we lift up our praise to Him, so give Him your troubles, but also give Him your praise. And that's the privilege that we have. And in doing that, our whole attitude will change. And that's why Paul said we can learn to rejoice in all situations, no matter what we're in. Because the power of praise at prayer working through in us. Prayer has the power to relieve suffering. But second, prayer has power, faith working is, because prayer has the power to heal the sick. We ask for requests in our worship service for people who are sick, and we pray for those who are sick, and that's important. It's biblical that we do that. It comes right here from the book of James. It's God's teaching, and Jesus says He will heal. And He is our healer. And through prayer, we believe that prayer has the power to heal those who are sick, right? If we didn't believe that, would we ask for prayer for anybody? Would we lift them up before the Lord and say, Lord, heal so-and-so, we're praying for them? We believe and the power of prayer and God working through it to heal the sick. And he goes on to say, if any of you was sick, he should call for the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in sick in faith, what's it say? Will make the sick person well. Does it say might? It says will. Now we need to properly understand what God's saying here in these words. In this verse, because there's many times that we have prayed for God to heal people who are sick, maybe struggling and fighting with cancer. And Lord, we pray, Lord, heal them. We know you're able to. We know you have the power, but it seems like, and maybe in those times, we've all had cases where that where God didn't heal him, them here. And it seems like, well, why didn't he answer the prayer? But he did. Because what James is talking about is not just physical, but he's talking about spiritual healing. That word well, when I looked up what that word well means, when he says he will make the sick well, well is the word S-O-Z-O, or sozo in Greek. And it's the word which means save. It's the word from which we get salvation or conversion. It was used 54 times in the Gospels, where it means to rescue from death or to deliver. The word generally means to deliver or rescue from danger. So what James is talking about, he's not talking about just physical healing. He's talking more importantly about spiritual healing. And sometimes God chooses to heal by taking a person home with them, where the full ultimate healing comes. But God will and always does heal. He always restores. He always knows what's best. But God has the power to heal those who are sick. James says, when we meet his conditions. He has the power to heal those who are sick when we ask in agreement. He says, if any of you are sick, let him call for the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. James says, if you're sick, then share it. He's saying, then share that concern with the church, so that the church can agree with you in prayer and pray for you. And he said, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. I have anointing oil up here. It was a practice that was used. And as anointing in Scripture was used for two different reasons. Often they would anoint people with oil when a person would become a priest or a prophet or a king. It was a way of setting them apart to God. But anointing was also used in healing. In the case of the Good Samaritan, whenever he came across the man along the road, he anointed him with oil. And the anointing with oil was symbolic of two things. It was symbolic of the Spirit of God and his power, but it was also symbolic of healing. And it was used as a medicinal purpose. And James says, if any of you are sick, call for the elders of the church and anoint with oil and ask the church to pray for you. And the prayer offered will save the sick when we pray in agreement. That's asking the church to join together, to lift you up, to carry that concern. And we're to, as a church, we're to bear one another's burdens. We're to care for each other. One Wednesday evening in prayer meeting, one of the members of the prayer group asked us to anoint that person with prayer and with oil and pray over that person, and we did. We all came together, we anointed with oil, and we prayed over that person, believing and trusting that God will answer those prayers. And there's great power there, but the power is not in the anointing, the power is in Jesus. And the power is in the Lord to heal. But when we pray in agreement, when we as a church bear one another's burdens and concerns for each other, God can hear those and he answers. Matthew 18:18 says, what is bound on earth will be bound in heaven. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, we read a time where a church had a prayer meeting. And they got together and they had a burden. The burden that they were praying for was that the apostles had been arrested and put in jail. and they were in prison for the faith. And the church got together and they prayed. And in agreement, they lifted up that concern before God. And it says that after they prayed, the place where they was meeting was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. And there was great power there because they all prayed in agreement. That means all bearing that same burden. When you hear someone, a brother and sister in Christ, bring a prayer concern and they bring it up to us and sharing time for us to pray for, mark that down. And all of us go to prayer in agreement that as we as a church pray together, God will hear. And there's great power there. You believe that? And God will hear and respond in prayers like that. We were praying in agreement for Pete, weren't we, Jill? And God heard and he responded because we were praying in agreement for that concern. We've been praying in agreement for Lisa. And God has been hearing when we pray in agreement, but also when we ask in faith. It says he will respond. Verse 14. He said, call for the elders, anoint him and pray with him in oil when the prayer offered in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith, verse 15, will make the sick person well and the Lord will raise him up. We already talked about what that word well means. And he doesn't say might, he says will. And he says when we pray in faith, God will heal here and he will heal. Now we got to talk about this and take some time because this is significant. Because I've heard people teach on TV especially, and you got to be careful with some of the teachers you listen to on TV. And some of them will say, if you get sick and you pray for a person and that God didn't heal them, it's because you didn't have enough faith. Or when you prayed, you must not have had enough faith because if you really had faith, God would have healed that person. Have you ever heard anybody say that? And because they weren't healed, you didn't have enough faith or you didn't believe. That's not what James is saying here. And that's a deadly view. Prayer, but he says, praying in faith, God will hear and respond. So we got, what does it mean when we ask in faith? Well, he tells us. And it's significant. Praying in faith means that we ask first in God's name. He said, anoint with oil in the name of the Lord. When you pray in faith, you're praying first in the name of the Lord himself. Using God's name, Jesus told us when we pray, we're to address the Father and in his name. And Jesus said, whatever you ask for in my name, go with me to John chapter 14, verse 13. John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. Jesus said, you call me teacher, Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. And 14:13, I said, I will do for you whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Jesus says, if we ask in his name, that's part of where it begins. Asking in the name of Jesus means that we believe him. The name of Jesus, the name of God, reflects all his character. And so asking in his name, we're asking in all the greatness and glory of who God is. That his name reflects his greatness. So when we pray to God in the name of Christ, we're praying to the one who is almighty. We're praying to the one who can do nothing, who is able to do all things. We're praying to the one who's created the world out of his power. We're created to the one who brought the dead back to life again. We're praying to the one who has unlimited power. And his name represents who he is. Praying in faith means that we pray in Christ. But it also means that we trust in his word. It means believing what he said. Taking his word that when we call upon him, he will hear us. When we ask, we will receive. When we seek, we will find. That when believing that when we come to him, he will do as he's promised us. That's part of what praying in faith. But praying in faith also means that we submit to his will. And here's where the big part of the important part is. Learn to submit to his will. turn to chapter 4 of James, verse 2. Just back a chapter, he says, you want something and you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you don't have, cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight because you do not have, because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. James says, when we ask of God and when we pray, praying in faith means that we always submit our prayer to His will. Turn with me to this verse and mark this down, because this is an important one. 1 John chapter 5. And this is a good verse to highlight in your Bible if you do that, and or star it or mark it in some way. Because in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, John says this. This is the confidence, the word confidence or assurance that we have when approaching God. We can be absolutely certain and sure of this. That if we ask anything, He hears us. Is that what it says? You with me? I want to make sure you're with me. Is that what John is saying? This is the confidence we have that if we ask anything, He hears us. I missed something important, didn't I? Yes, and a lot of people do. They miss that important thing. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that He hears us whatever we ask. We know that we have what we ask of Him. So praying in faith means that we always submit our prayers to His will. And yes, we can pray and we can ask God for healing. We say, Lord, heal and bring this person and heal this person of cancer or whatever they're going through. And Lord, that's our will, that You heal them. And we know You're able to do it because God's able to. But sometimes, in His good will, which we don't understand, His will may not be to heal them on earth. It may be to take them home with Him. That doesn't mean that God didn't heal them, right? The ultimate healing comes when we go to heaven, right? When we're free from all suffering and sickness anymore. He healed, but just not the way we thought. But all submitting prayers to His will, in accordance with His will. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Jesus taught us in the model prayer on how we got, when He asked the disciples, said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And He gave us the Lord's Prayer as a model. Matthew 6, 10, and a model of that, one of the petitions says, Your will be done. That's what we're to pray, that Lord, Your will be done. I'm praying, I'm asking in faith, believing, but trusting in Your perfect will. Because You know what's best. Billy Graham once said that prayer is not about using God. It is more often about getting us in a position where God can use us. He said, I watched the deckhands on the great liner United States as they docked that ship in the New York Harbor. First, they threw out a rope to the men on the dock, and then inside the boat, the great motors went to work to pull on the great cable. But oddly enough, the pier wasn't pulled out to the ship was pulled snugly to the pier. Billy Graham says, prayer is the rope that pulls God and us together, but it doesn't pull God down to us, it pulls us up to God. We must learn to say with Christ, the Master, in the art of praying, not my will, but thine be done. That as we throw that rope of prayer out, it pulls our will in alignment with His. And say, Lord, I pray that Your will be done in this trouble, in this burden that I have. I'm bringing it to You. I'm asking in faith, but I'm submitting to Your will. Then the last part of praying by faith means that we rely on God's goodness. That when God doesn't answer in a way that we think, and we pray for physical healing and it doesn't occur, then that's where we rely on God's goodness, believe that God in His goodness and plan had a better plan for us and knew better than we did. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11. Jesus teaching on the subject of prayer. said this and begins with the familiar verses we've heard. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. That's the assurance we have. It says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. God will hear. But then he goes on to say, which of you, if a son asked for bread, would give him a stone? And if he asked for fish, would give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? But Jesus said, if we know how to give good gifts to our children when they ask us, how much more so God know what will give good things to us? And so when we pray, we need to rely on God's goodness, that he will respond in the way that he thinks is best. Just last week, we were visiting last Sunday afternoon with some friends of ours that are good friends of Kim and I, and their parents, it used to be like Kim and my second group of parents. We traveled all around the country with them in their motorhome. We used to go on a lot of camping trips with them. And we were discussing about the day her grandfather died and went home to be with the Lord. And he was in the hospital, and they were praying for his healing, and the next day he died. And they were rejoicing in that because they looked at it this way. They said, you know, they said to me last week, they said, you know, my grandfather had he was very anxious. And he said he would get anxious with a lot of things when he saw going on in the world. And when he saw things on the news, it would really upset him and make him really, really anxious and angry and upset within, and he couldn't handle it. And she said, you know, God was gracious. She said, God took him home so that he didn't have to experience and see what's going on in our world now and in our country, because if he knew what was happening in our country today, he wouldn't be able to handle it. And that's a way of looking at God's goodness. You know, that God answers prayers sometimes in ways we don't expect, but he has a good reason for it. Praying in faith, believing that God will answer, believing the results and the answer to him. Praying in faith, God will heal the sick when we pray in agreement, when we pray in faith, and when we pray and ask for forgiveness. He goes on to say, back in James, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed, for the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Because James is talking about not just physical, but spiritual healing, and the spiritual healing is more important. James says that when we pray and ask for forgiveness, God will heal and bring the restoration and healing. Now listen carefully what I'm about to say. James is saying there may be times, and Paul backs that up, and we're going to go to in 1 Corinthians 11:30, if you want to write that verse down, 1 Corinthians 11:30. But there may be times that sickness and suffering in our life may be caused by sin. Not always. But there may be times when sickness comes as a result of sin in our life. And Paul says when we pray, and James says when we pray and ask for forgiveness, God will bring the forgiveness which can often bring to the healing. Not all sickness is caused by sin, but sometimes it can be. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 30 makes that clear. And in the situation, what was going on there, Paul was talking about the communion service. And he said that some were taking communion and they weren't coming in a right frame of mind, and they were coming with unconfessed sin before they came to the Lord's table. And Paul said, that's why some of you have gotten sick. He said, you've gotten sick because of that. And so, when we ask for forgiveness, God will heal the sickness of our heart and bring about that spiritual healing. And sometimes the spiritual sickness is worse than the physical sickness, isn't it? And God can heal and restore that. But third, prayer has the power to bring about change. We see as we go on in verse 17 and 18, it says, Elijah was a man just like us, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced their crops. That's the power of prayer, that prayer has the power to change things. We believe that. If we didn't believe that prayer had the power to change things, why would we pray, right? Prayer changes. It can change course of things. because prayer can bring about change in our nation. Our nation needs a revival, and our nation needs to be turned around. And the answer does not come with our politicians or any political party. It only comes with Christ, right? And when we pray, and we pray for revival, we pray that God can move and bring our nation back, our prayers can make a difference. It did with Elijah. It says Elijah was a man just like us. And he lived in a time when the nation was being ruled over by the most wicked, godliest king Israel ever had. He was legendary. His name was Ahab. His wife Jezebel was worse. She was an embodiment of anything wickedness. And the name Jezebel now is associated with wickedness. And through them, they introduced sacrifice of babies being burned alive and sacrifice to Baal and all kinds of immorality that was going on within their country. It was a very wicked, ungodly time. And Elijah prayed. And he prayed that God would stop the rain. And Baal, the god they worshipped, was the god of rain. And so by Elijah doing that, it showed that God was God. And then remember the great contest that took place on Mount Carmel, where Elijah said, "You pray to your gods and I'll pray to God. You pray to Baal and I'll pray to God, and the God that answers by fire is the true God." Remember that story? And all day long, the false prophets prayed to Baal. Nothing happened. Elijah lifted up his word, simple prayer, and God responded. And that prayer changed the nation. And it turned them back to God again. And we say, what can we do? What can one person do? We can pray and believe that when we pray, God will hear. Prayer has the power to change things. It changed the whole heart of the nation. It can change it. God can do that again. It can change our circumstances. James began, he said, if you're in trouble, you have those concerns, burdens, pray about it. And as we pray, God can change those circumstances. He can make it different. It can change us, and it can change our heart. And also in changing our heart, it can change the circumstance as well, because prayer changes our hearts. I think some of the greatest ways prayer changes is maybe not the circumstance as much as it changes us. You know, because it puts our will into the will of God again. And it makes us see things differently, maybe than we did before. And prayer can change our hearts. There was a lady who was hitting all the local garage sales. Anybody here like to go to garage sales? So it's getting to be that time of the year they'll start to be happening again. She was gone to local garage sales when she came across an old needlepoint picture that read, "Prayer changes lives." She brought it back and she took it home and she began to look for just the right place in her house to put it up and to hang up her new picture. She was really proud of this thing. Finally, she decided that it went very well right over the dining room table. That way, her and her husband, every time they sat down and had a meal, they could see it. And they could have that, be reminded that prayer changes lives. With great pride, she admired her garage sale discovery. She could hardly wait to show it to her husband when he got home. That evening, when her husband arrived home from work, she showed him the picture where she placed it, but he made no indication one way or another whether he liked it. He just didn't say a word, just didn't say anything. The next day, as she was cleaning the house, she discovered that the new picture was gone. As she continued to clean the house, she found the picture hidden behind the bookcase. So she thought, well, that's strange. And she rehung the picture back up in its original location. Guess what? The next day, to her dismay, she discovered that the picture was down again, and it was back behind the bookcase where it was before. She thought, So when her husband arrived home, she confronted her husband, and she asked him if he was displeased with the art of the needlepoint, and said, "Do you like what the picture said? Are you displeased with it?" She says, "No, not at all. It's a great work of art." Well, then she says, "Well, is it the place? Don't you like where the picture is hung?" He says, "Not at all. It's a great location." Then she says, "Well, it must be the message." So she asks him if it's the message he doesn't like. He says, "No, the message is great." So finally, she was exasperated. She says, "Well, then what's the problem?" He said, "I just don't like change." And then that could be the problem. Prayer changes things. And when we pray and ask God, he'll respond, and he may change things that we don't like. And it means, sometimes we resist because we don't like things to change. We want it to stay the way it is. But Elijah was a man just like us, and he prayed no different. And we hold these people up in the Bible as something special. And Elijah had his struggles too. He was just like us. But his prayer changed things. And finally concluding, prayer has the power to restore the fallen. James ends by saying, if one of you should wander from the truth and should bring him back, remember this, whoever returns a sinner from his error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. You've known somebody, and I hear stories of how parents are heartbroken when they raise their children up in the church. And they raise their kids in the church to know Christ, and it seems as they get older, they seem to depart from what they were taught. And they seem to wander from the truth, and Christ isn't, the Lord's not important, and spiritual matters aren't important to them. And we know people like that. I hear many stories like that. It's in every family. And it breaks our heart when we hear, they weren't raised that way. And I taught them, prayer has the power to restore the fallen because it can bring back those who wander. If you're concerned for those that have in your family members, pray and believe that God can work in their heart. The story of the prodigal son is a good example where the younger son ran away, but the father, I'm sure, continued to pray for him, and God worked in his heart, and he was restored, and he was brought back. If you have a wayward son or daughter, grandson, grandchild, pray that God will bring them back. And believe that he can and he will, right? He can. Because prayer has the power to restore the fallen, restore those who wander, and to turn around those who are in error. He says in closing, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death. Those who are in error, those who are misguided in their thinking, those who do not realize the truth, and Satan, and the scripture says that they're under the darkness of Satan. They're being blinded by him. And the only way that can be broken is to pray that God will bring them, help them understand the truth. And by our prayers, believing that those who are in error will come to see the truth of the scripture and come to realize and put their faith in him. Prayer has great power. And of all the ways in which faith works, we see faith working powerfully through the prayers of God's people, which are righteous, which are effective, and powerful. Prayer has the power to relieve suffering, to heal the sick, to bring about change, and to restore the fallen. As you continue to walk in Christ and continue to live by faith and let faith work in you, let your faith drive you to the power of prayer, where you see God working in powerful and miraculous ways. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the power of prayer. Lord, in that privilege that we have, that if we're having any burdens, if we're any kind of troubles, so we can cast it on you, that you want us to do that. And believe, Lord, in faith that you will hear and you will respond. And Lord, that you will heal the sick, whether it's physically or spiritually. As we pray, submitting to your will, praying that your will be done, and you always know what's best, and that's where we need the faith to trust you. But Lord, we thank you as well that prayer changes things. It can change situations. It can change our heart. It can change our nation. And so, Lord, we come to you on behalf of those we love, of the burdens that we have, for those, Lord, in need healing, for our nation, Lord, that we intercede for our leaders and for our land, Lord, our country would be brought back to you. Believing and trusting in you that the prayers of a righteous man or woman are powerful and are effective. Nothing is more powerful on earth than the prayers of your people. And so, Father, may your faith be working in us, leading us and calling us to prayer, where we see you work, trusting you, and relying on your grace. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close this morning, our closing